The biggest breaking news stories, an outspoken opinion. The Breakfast Briefing with Julia Hartley-Brewer on Talk Radio.
Good morning to you. It's Monday the 12th of April. You're listening to Breakfast with Julia Hartley-Brewer on Talk Radio. Don't forget, you can watch the show live. We are streaming right now on YouTube and on Twitter. Coming up, the Queen has said that the death of her husband, the Duke of Edinburgh, had left a huge void in her life. The country is now officially in a week of national mourning until the Duke of Edinburgh's funeral on Saturday. Meanwhile, we're one step closer to freedom today. Thousands of pubs, shops and restaurants reopen for the first time in many months today. Last night, Boris Johnson welcomed the major step forwards towards normality, but he also urged everyone to behave responsibly. And more than half of people in England are living in areas with almost no new COVID cases. This as we've rolled out almost 40 million vaccines. 6:34 is the time. This is Talk Radio. Good morning to you. Thank you very much indeed for your company on this absolutely beautiful, beautiful morning, certainly where I am in London. Absolutely stunning sunrise this morning. Bitterly cold day today. And as I was saying to James Max a few moments ago, a real mixed bag today. And I think there are an awful lot of people in this country who are feeling still very sad and, shocked, I think would be the wrong word, given his age. But the Duke of Edinburgh's death on Friday, obviously a moment in our national history. Well, whatever your views on the royals, he's a man who's been a part of our lives, a part of our nation's history and our nation's currency, right? Right now, for so many, many, many decades, and obviously a key part of the royal family and the Queen's rock, as we've been hearing from so many well-wishers over the last week, over the last few days. But obviously on the day when people are obviously still sort of coming to terms with that and people marking the funeral ahead on Saturday, a day when a lot of people, frankly, you know, desperate to get back to their real lives, desperate to get back to some semblance of normality with the great reopening, the 12th of April reopening of shops and restaurants and pubs. And hairdressers and gyms and zoos and all of the like, even down to the things, little things like driving lessons resuming for those teenagers desperate to get some independence. So to talk about all of that and, of course, plenty of other stories as well, including, of course, Mr. David Cameron, former Prime Minister and not very good lobbyist, it would transpire. I'm joined this morning by Darren Grimes. He's Director of Reasoned UK. They're a Conservative channel and he joins us this morning. Good morning to you, Darren.
Morning, Julia.
Good morning. Lovely to talk to you. Now, you were all over social media on Friday and over the weekend. You are an absolutely staunch royalist, aren't you? Absolutely adore the Queen and Prince Philip. And you've been paying some lovely tributes to the Prince over the last few days.
Yeah, I mean, what's really struck me, I think, over recent days hasn't actually been the outpouring of tributes for the Duke of Edinburgh. It's actually probably expected, right? Yeah. That way there would be such a glowing tribute for what is considered to be the nation's grandfather. Ultimately, I think he's probably been the royal that would most like to go to the pub with, so it probably seems yes. appropriate, right, that we're getting back to the pub the day.
Absolutely. And also Boris Johnson saying he was going to go and raise a pint before he had a haircut. A lot of people might have a different opinion on that as our Prime Minister, but he said that he wouldn't go to the pub today, but out of respect for Prince Philip. But there are a lot of people pointing out Prince Philip would probably think you should go to the pub.
Absolutely. He'd want as little fuss as possible as well. So going to the pub would seem entirely appropriate. And I mean, the man, right, I think why he's so respected around the country and there has been such an outpouring of support. He was, as I say, the nation's granddad, but a war veteran that dragged the British monarchy into the 21st century, despite the fact that the establishment class at the time thought he had gone mad, essentially. But I think he's been responsible for the monarchy's popularity and survival to this day. So I think it really does as well, Julia, and you'll know this better than most, having done this show day in, day out for years now. There's been this sort of prevailing narrative, hasn't there, that this is a country that is basically a failed state,
yes.
and that we're not united, and since Brexit, you know, it's been this narrative that we're divided and all the rest of it. I actually think this nation's collective state of grief over the last few days around this one central figure somewhat puts that idea to bed.
That's interesting. Yeah, I mean, you say you use the word grief. I always worry that I'm sort of out of tune with a lot of the general public on a lot of these things. I mean, not because of my, you know, views on royalty, because that's about an institution as opposed to the actual people. And I can 100% tell you that Prince Philip is absolutely hands down my favourite royal, because he's so just sort of, oh, for goodness sake, get on with it. Very much my kind of person. I like to think we'd have got on very well. But this is the thing. He died at 99. I mean, a life well lived. I mean, what a life. And I think a lot of us didn't know. I'm ashamed of myself as not knowing an awful lot about his life before. Actually, I think a lot of us learned more during watching The Crown. And I know an awful lot of that was fictionalised, wasn't actually an accurate representation. But when you did actually read the pieces explaining what was true and what was not, an extraordinary life, a terrible, terrible, terrible childhood. And what he's overcome, and the fact that, you know, he's obviously an incredibly intelligent, gifted, learned man, and what he's done over the years. Just in a very impressive life. And I, in my view, my feeling is very much he was someone who we've all known. Everyone in this country has grown up with Prince Philip as someone who was always somewhere there in the background alongside the Queen and leading the way on the royal front. And again, whatever one's views on the royalty, nevertheless, we do have a royal family in this country. But also the fact that, you know, he lived such a wonderful long life and in most of it in darn good health as well. And for me, this is a time when people should be celebrating. I mean, those of us who were not personally grieving as having lost a loved one, but celebrating a life well lived and the contribution he's made to public life and to the Queen's life, obviously, and celebrating someone having had such a wonderful life for 99 years. May we all live so long and so healthily and have such a wonderful life, children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren and all of that. But I mean, the thing is, your heart does go out to obviously his children, because again, even though these people are public personas, they are still, you know, fathers and grandfathers and you know, brothers and things like that, but also crucially, of course, to the Queen. Now, we saw the Duke of York coming out for the first time in a long time under cover of this event, but Duke of York, Prince Andrew, coming out of church yesterday alongside Prince Edward and his wife Sophie, saying that Philip's death had, the Queen said, left a huge void in her life. And this is going to be the real worry. 74 years married. Now, no marriage is perfect. Let's not pretend their marriage was perfect, because no one's is. But to be together for so many decades and to have one person who has been through all of it with you, all of those years, that's going to be such a blow to the Queen at the age of 94, isn't it?
Absolutely. But I think one of the reasons why a lot of people do feel like, I think many people have messaged me saying, I can't actually believe my response to this. I can't believe I feel as sort of, not upset, but I feel a sort of sense of, this is really sad. This is sad for the nation in a way in which I never anticipated doing so. And I think that's because the Duke of Edinburgh represented something different, Julia. He represented the sort of last of that selfless generation that sacrificed so very much for this country, and this idea that this sort of the spoiled millennial generation isn't going to be anywhere near as selfless and determined as his generation was. So I think that's where ultimately this sort of sorrow for the nation's grandfather comes from, because he reminds me of my granddad. I don't know about you and your family, but I think that's where that sort of, it comes from. It's part of the national psyche that we can't sort of, or we do accept that generation's gone now, and that is actually sad.
I mean talking of the younger generation, of course, the funeral arrangements are rather different. I mean, he wasn't planning and didn't want, as he said, he didn't want a fuss, didn't want a big huge event, and it was going to be a private funeral, although televised, but 800 people. I mean, again, there is an element where you think, well, you've probably met an awful lot of people in your time as a royal consort, and so 800 people was the plan. Of course, COVID rules right now, 30 people. I got in a lot of stick on Twitter on Friday, having just asked the question, what is the plan for the funeral? That was my first thought, because we know that, you know, immediately everything springs into action. Operation Fourth Bridge, the plans for his funeral were, and they'd been rehearsals for them and the like. and there were going to obviously be, you know, major big events marking his death. And of course, the funeral arrangements have to abide by coronavirus rules. And I'm sorry, I do think it is important that the royal family lead by example on that, with so many people have lost loved ones to COVID and everything else in the last year, and had to force, you know, I mean, I think horrifically and unnecessarily, not mm-hmm. having the funerals and the goodbyes that they wanted to do. But only 30 people. The Prime Minister has given up his spot, so a family member can attend. Prince Harry, not Meghan, who's obviously heavily pregnant, but Prince Harry, we were told, is going to be returning from America. In fact, he's already landed at Heathrow yesterday. He's ready to do his 5 days of isolation ahead of the funeral. Though, of course, that's assuming, obviously, negative tests, you know, before and after. But even if he hadn't landed already, he would still be allowed. The COVID rules do allow for people to leave quarantine to attend the funeral of a close family member, but then return to self-isolation. But this, of course, significantly is the first time that Harry is back in the UK since March last year, and the first time since, of course, that big Oprah Winfrey interview and all of the shenanigans that followed on from that, that he's going to be seeing the royal family. So walking, we understand, behind the coffin with his brother and others. So perhaps an opportunity for the family to all make amends with each other.
Yes, well, actually, speaking of, before I answer that question, I saw on Twitter as well that I was getting a lot of grief asking the question, will Prince Harry have to self-isolate? So it seems to me, Julia, that we've both asked questions over this weekend and been met by a torrent of abuse.
I feel very strongly that the politicians, royalty and people in power and being rich should obey the same rules that the rest of us are being asked to obey. And all credit to the Queen. She has always done that and marked all of that. And I think it is very important. I think it is very symbolic that we are all in this together. I really do. And I think those are pertinent questions, that there shouldn't be one rule for others. When we know that millions of families are struggling, missing loved ones around the country, and hundreds of thousands, possibly even more than that, maybe millions, who weren't able to see loved ones abroad because there's isolation rules and the quarantine rules and the ban on travel. I think it is important. But you know, Harry is doing it all within the rules.
Well, and it reminds me of the sort of war when the royal family lost a lot of their royal estate to bombing during the Second World War. The royal family said they were able to turn around to the East End and say, we can look you in the eye now. And I think it's very much still part of that. Well, the royal family can't be seen to be above the law or coronavirus restrictions. Now, Julia, you and I will argue until blue in the face about how daft and cruel, frankly, many of these regulations
are.
I think it is. I mean, I remember last year we lost my mother's youngest sister, and my mother was told she couldn't sit next to my grandmother, for goodness sake, who was breaking her heart at the loss of her daughter. That's how horrible and cruel these restrictions have been. By the way, my mother refused to do so, and I actually think that she is amazing for doing that, absolutely. But look, whether or not Prince Harry comes around, apparently Prince Philip himself, the Duke of Edinburgh, thought the interview was mad. Some of the papers are running today, the interview with Oprah, that is. So whether or not there can be this grand family reconciliation, I don't know. But it would strike me that at a time like this, they all need each other. That would be nice, wouldn't it?
Yes, exactly. Well, look, we're going to turn our attention to the other, as a big, big, big story of the day, the pubs and the restaurants reopening outdoors today, the shops indoors, hairdressers, barbers, gyms, whatever floats your boat. I'm also going to talk about David Cameron as well, and all of that coming up.
The Breakfast Briefing with Julia Hartley Brewer on Talk Radio.
If you liked what you heard, please subscribe and give me a good review. And don't forget to catch me on the Talk Radio Breakfast Show every weekday from 6:30 until 10.